This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
This is Abby Woods, and welcome back to another episode of Q&A with the Dean. Welcome back, Dean Grisolfi. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. Now, I know spring break is, you know, just kind of off on the horizons and everything. We're getting kind of excited. Do you have any plans for spring break this year?
I do not. I originally had plans. My family, I was trying to convince my family to go to Tybee Island, which is a little island off the coast of Georgia. And it's a bit of a drive from here. It's about 30 minutes outside of Savannah. So it's kind of a drive.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to go. It's supposed to be beautiful. And in March, it's not really beach weather on Tybee Island, but it's supposed to be beautiful. And, you know, I thought it would be great. However, my family was slightly less excited because the idea of going to the beach but not actually being able to be at the beach was not quite as exciting for anyone besides me.
That's fair.
But also, I am traveling every single weekend. I just got home on Sunday, and I am traveling every single weekend between now and spring break.
Oh, man.
I know. And so once I looked at that and realized that, I thought, oh, I don't think I'm going to want to go anywhere.
Your break is going to be home.
Exactly. And that is what the kids said they wanted.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
We have the same spring break this year, which is nice. We don't always. But
yeah.
But they, part of their resistance was they wanted to just be home.
Oh, well, that's really sweet.
Yeah. So we will. Awesome. Maybe we'll do a little day trip. There's there's an aquarium in Chattanooga, which is a really cool aquarium. So maybe we'll do a day trip.
Very fun. So we're also kind of like, you know, after spring break, I feel like we have about, I want to say 6 weeks until finals, and then we're kind of out of here. So for all of us finishing our first year, it's just kind of in reach. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm sad. I'm, you know, feeling all the feelings. I'm just wondering, like, how did you feel after your first year of college was coming to a close?
Oh, that's a good question. So I had a really tough first semester of my freshman year. Mm-hmm. I did not... I had met a lot of people. Like, I never sort of, you know, didn't have someone to eat dinner with. And
right.
I had joined, I did all the things that I tell everyone to do, right?
Right.
Like I said hi to everyone. And
you take your advice.
I took my own 18-year-old advice, but I joined a lot of activities. I sang in an a cappella group. I sang in the choir. I auditioned for a play. I did all kinds of things.
Were you a soprano?
Yes, soprano. Can you tell?
Yeah.
Soprano one.
Love.
But yeah, so I did all those things, and so and I liked my classes, but I just didn't feel like I had connected with anyone. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I actually had the same roommate all 4 years of college, and
nice.
But we never, and so we were good friends, but we were never each other's person,
right?
And so that first semester, in fact, I was like, well, maybe I should transfer. I just am not finding my place. And then, so then in the second semester, I decided to pledge a sorority, which you and I have talked about.
Right.
And that did not solve the problem.
Right.
I was still like, well, now I just know more people that I am not deeply connected to. But then actually one of these plays that I had auditioned for, I got a part in, and it was a series of one act plays.
Mm-hmm.
And so most of the rehearsals were just with people in your one act. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until dress rehearsal when I met all the rest of the cast. And one of the people I met ended up becoming my big sister in the sorority.
Aww.
And she was lovely and became a really close friend of mine. And then she introduced me to this other person who was in the play who ended up now, he is my husband now. And so,
that's so nice.
It was very, yes, it's a very sweet story, I have to say.
That's
so we
cute.
Met during dress rehearsal and then we started dating. And so by the time my first year was over, I was like, you know, devastated that I was going to spend this summer apart
yeah.
from, you know, like this wonderful guy. And in fact, my husband is from Long Island and I'm from Detroit. So we actually did go back and forth that
That's
summer.
So awesome.
It was very sweet. So yeah, I was really, it's interesting. I never did come to love Franklin and Marshall. And
yeah.
I can't actually explain why, because you know, I have my best friend is someone I met, you know, she sang with me. She was in my sorority. We talk all the time.
Yeah.
I married my college sweetheart. It's not that I didn't have great experiences. And then I actually got into like amazing graduate schools directly out of undergrad. They clearly prepared me well. So yeah. I have no critiques of the school, but it never did come to feel for me like my place.
Interesting.
And I actually think that's partly what makes me a good dean of commons, because
you know what to do now. Like,
well, and also you don't have to, like, you know, I think there's this lore about college that, like, this is the best time of your life. Yeah. It's amazing. You're going to find your best friends ever. Yeah. And, like, that's not true. I mean, but also it's not exclusively true. And mm-hmm. and I'll say the time when I felt that way was when I was in graduate school.
Yeah. I feel like we shouldn't put pressure on ourselves to be like, make this the best time of my life.
Exactly. Exactly. It's because then you're just constantly thinking about, like, why does everyone else think this is the best time and I don't? What's
wrong
with me?
Why is everyone having fun but me?
Right. And I mean, I did have fun and I did make friends, but it never did feel like that place. And I think the really important lesson there is, like, that didn't make it not the right choice or a bad experience, right? Like, all kinds of great things happened because I went there. And that college is part of why I wanted to become a professor, right? So, I mean, many good things happened, but it just never felt like my place.
Right. That's really interesting. Thank you for sharing. All right. And then this one's an odd one, because I know you used to be a professor before becoming the dean of commons. Mm-hmm. Can you remind me what subject that was?
So I'm still a professor.
Oh my gosh.
I am. They have not kicked me out. No, that's okay. So you want to hear my whole, all the things?
You can tell me the things.
So here's all the things. So I am the dean of residential colleges and residential education, and the dean of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons, and a professor of mathematics education and the learning sciences.
Oh my gosh.
So good thing we don't give out business cards anymore, because it would not fit.
That would be a business paper.
Right there, yeah. Yeah. So my appointment, my professor appointment, is in the Department of Teaching and Learning.
Okay.
In Peabody.
My mistake.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Well, that's good. So this is just very odd, and I've always wanted to ask another professor this, but I didn't know if it was just a weird question. When students are picking out some of their classes, I think you already know what I'm going to say, they look at Rate My Professor. Mm-hmm. As a professor, how do you guys feel? I know you can't speak for everybody, but how do you as a professor feel about Rate My Professor? Do you ever look at it? Or are you kind of like, I will never look at that website?
So I have looked at it, okay, because it wasn't a thing. I think when I was taking classes, even in graduate school, mm-hmm, I don't think it existed. And so when I first found out about it, it was when I was a new professor. And I was like, what is this? So, and then if you look me up, you'll see, like, there's no entries for me. There are some entries for me, but from when I was a professor at Indiana University. Yeah. And it's interesting because I do teach undergraduate classes sometimes. So it makes me wonder about who uses it. That particular site, at least the last time I looked at it, and it has been a while, I really did not love their categories, including like the hotness factor with the chili peppers. It was very...
Oh my God, they have that?
Yes, where they did. And so I felt a little...
Yikes.
I felt a little like this is problematic. And I'll tell you, I have a lot of feelings about teaching evaluations, but there's a lot of studies about the ways that students perceive their instructors and the quality of their instructors. And this is going to be shocking to you, but it turns out that there is racism and sexism embedded in the system.
You're kidding.
I know. So, but they actually did a really interesting study where it was an online study. Mm-hmm. It was a study of an online class, and it just created this beautiful natural experiment where they were really big classes, mm-hmm, and taught by the same actual human, it was asynchronous, the actual human had totally different personas.
Yeah.
And so the persona of the white male older professor, and they uploaded pictures, you know, because there's like, about me, right? So like what you think a professor would look like. And then the other one was a woman, and it was a woman of color. Mm-hmm. And so the course evaluations for the course that was taught by the quote unquote white male professor was way higher.
Really interesting.
Yeah. And so, you know, on the one hand, I have a lot of students who come into my office a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And for office hours, which I love when people do. And they, you know, they tell me stories about their experiences in college. And sometimes they are sharing stories that I think are really unfair of things that happened where they didn't understand the rules, or maybe sometimes professors change the rules, or they're not returning feedback in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. And that's really frustrating. Yeah. And I totally, completely understand why students, you don't have that many classes that you get to take, right? So that you sort of want to know, am I going to take a class with someone who is going to be fair, is going to be inspiring? Mm-hmm. So like the impulse to have one of those sites makes complete sense to me. The concern is that the ways, you know, just the hotness factor alone, like, why is that there, right? I mean, that's just so troubling to me. And so, you know, the ways that like that bias is built into those systems is troubling to me. And, you know, not just that system, but course evaluations as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing. I just always wondered about that. And I knew other students had, and like, I have my own beliefs about Rate My Professor. I think it's kind of a place for students to, you know, complain in an anonymous manner because it's anonymous. So that adds another layer to it. But I have mixed opinions about it. I looked at Rate My Professor before I went to Vanderbilt, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die in these classes. And the professors ended up being lovely. So it's just...
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you think people are more likely to write something on Rate My Professor than write in course evaluations?
100%.
So why? Because the course evaluations are anonymous too.
Yeah. I honestly think it's the authority of you guys have to do this. That people are like, no, I'm not going to do it. If they think that they're making the choice to go and like, I'm going to go tear into this professor that gave me a dirty look on this day.
Or a bad grade.
Yeah. Or a bad grade. Or, you know, they didn't grade my test the next day. I think they just want to feel like they're choosing to get back at that. Whereas the course evaluations, I guess it's more like, more standardized, and I'm not really sure. I was a kid that did the course evaluations, and I was pretty honest with them. I had one professor that was like, please do this, I really want a job next year. So like, you know, when I feel like it's more serious, I guess that's another layer too. Students feel like, you know, Rate My Professor, I could go and tear into this professor and nothing's going to happen. Maybe someone wouldn't enroll in their class that would have otherwise. But then like the course evaluations for a lot of professors are like so important to them to get a tenure or to like keep their profession. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
So that's interesting. Yeah. Because we, there's really low rates of response on course evaluations. Yeah. And so it's like, I am old enough that I definitely was a professor when we had paper course evaluations. And then you didn't get your results until like, you know, 3 months later, because it had to go through the system that actually read the bubbles.
Do you guys get nervous about that ever?
I used to get really nervous about it. Yeah. Actually, I'm always nervous about reading course evaluations because, you know, I work really hard in my classes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that people like them.
Yeah.
And you put a lot of yourself into your classes. And it is really easy to focus on the comments that aren't very nice.
Right.
And, you know, and you don't actually forget those comments either. I remember one person wrote, I was teaching a master's and doctoral combined course on learning. And this is what I do, right? I'm a learning theorist.
Yeah.
And, the student said, like, this professor is so arrogant. She had us read some of her own papers on learning. And I was like, oh, okay, but that's actually what I do. Right?
That's my job.
That's like, and I've been doing it for a long time, right? And so, and would you have made that comment if it was like an old white man who had you read their paper? Like, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So like, but I mean, that was years ago and I still remember that comment.
That sucks. That's so much like, this professor is so arrogant. They had me listen to their lecture.
Right. Exactly. So, but I mean, what is interesting to me though, is so I usually put time aside in my classes. I'm like, please bring your laptop.
Yeah.
Come to class. I'm going to leave this room for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Please fill out your course evaluation right now. Let me explain to you why it matters. and I still don't get 100% response rate. No, this is what confuses me. Like, so you spent those 15 minutes like on
like
what,
playing like, chess. Yes. That's the new thing at Vanderbilt. I look and everybody's playing online chess.
That's really, I mean, I just find it really odd. I'm like, okay, well, there's literally nothing more I can do.
Yeah, that's at that point, that's on the kid. And so, yeah. Well, thank you for being so open about that. Just because like, I know it's just been a thought of mine, and you know, I hope to be a professor one day, and I always think I would take it very personally, because how could you not, if you spend almost, you know, decades of your life to this profession, and then a 19-year-old kid could be like, they are so arrogant, like, right. How do you not take that personally? It's hard.
So I'll tell you what we do for each other now a lot of the time is we give each other our course evaluations.
That's nice.
And because you want the feedback, but maybe you don't need to read the actual comment.
Right.
And so then your colleague can say, like, well, lots of people left your class for the following reasons. And then some people had some constructive feedback, right? And, you know, like, just to say the feedback in a different way. So that is actually a in general, a great tip.
That is a good tip.
It's worked well.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you so much for being so open about these questions. And then a big thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you guys all enjoyed this week's episode of Q&A with the Dean. This is Abby Woods. Until next time. And next up is this week's Commons Calendar.
What's up, Commodores? I'm Linda Hsu, and I'm hosting this week's Commons Calendar, where I bring you all up to speed with the on-campus happenings. To start off, today, Wednesday, February 22nd, from 5 to 7 p.m. in the MCL building, is the last day of the Arts Appreciation Mini-Week the Multicultural Leadership Council is hosting. Come explore your artistic side and engage in various cultural art forms. You will also be able to take home anything you create at the event. On Thursday, February 23rd, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., there will be an Out in Front event at the Student Life Center Ballroom. This year's theme is Roots of Resilience, Community Art in the Queer South. This conference is an opportunity for students to meet and network with peers across the United States, share resources, develop leadership skills, and foster the LGBTQ2S+ and allied community. This Saturday, February 25th, starting at 10 a.m., is the Commons Cup 5K Walk, Roll, and Run. Come to Commons Lawn and help rack up points for your house by participating in the 5K. This event is participation-based, so spread the word and scan in. The Multicultural Leadership Council and Movemental is hosting a tea-making event from 7 to 8 p.m. at the Community Event Space on Monday, February 27th. Come de-stress from midterms while enjoying snacks and learning to make authentic tea from a local tea maker. And that's all for this week's Commons Calendar. Be sure to check the anchor link for more information on dates and events. Thank you all so much for listening. Now on to the Humans of the Commons segment.
Hey Doors, I'm Igan Iscario, a first-year student here at Vanderbilt and your host for this week's Human of the Commons interview. My guest is Yuan Uy, a first-year student from Parkersburg, West Virginia, majoring in climate studies and economics. He also lives in Sutherland House. Yuan, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Igan. It's nice seeing you, or maybe virtually seeing you or whatever.
Guys, we're in person in the studio right now. So me and Yuan go way back. People like mistake us for each other on campus, which is so funny because we both grow out our hair and like dyed it brown. And we're both on the PISO board, and I know that we share cultural heritage in that way. So can you talk a little bit about your connection to the Philippines and like just like your cultural background?
Yeah, definitely. So back in 2016, my mom and I moved to Parkersburg, West Virginia. I know it's very different from the Philippines, but I guess the population is maybe the same as my town. So
really?
It wasn't different. Like the only thing that different was just maybe like the people. Mm. I mean, the town is quiet. And there's a mall close by, and and I mean it's a great town. So I moved here back in 2016, and I mean I've been here since, and yeah.
So we're both involved in the Philippine Intercultural Student Organization, or PISO. So do you think that helps you get a little bit of footing on campus when it comes to having like people you have like similar backgrounds to you who can understand like the experience of being Filipino?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, I love talking Tagalog I mean, I talked to Aiden in Tagalog, and then I talked to everyone in Tagalog, because I just like to talk in the native language, and I just like to practice it. And I usually just use it to argue with my mom. Like earlier before coming to here, I was just talking to my mom. I was saying, hey, I need money, you know, I need to get my haircut and they give me this money. But, you know, I just talked to her in Tagalog.
Yeah.
And every bi-weekly, we have like the Tagalog language table, in which Aiden is also a part of. And we just talk about the culture, traditions, and other aspects of being Filipino around campus, or just what being Filipino is. And it's a great experience. So if anyone wants to do it, go ahead and come into the Tagalog table.
And I think we're gauging interest for like a Filipino studies, or is it Filipino studies specifically, like the major or the minor that they're trying to do?
No, it's just like the Tagalog, like the language itself. So like,
okay,
I hopefully they're trying to get someone to teach it, I guess, from the Philippines. Just you're actually getting a Tagalog teacher to teach Tagalog from the Philippines. So I think
I don't think it's from the Philippines. I think they're just getting someone from another university.
I mean, might as well get someone from the Philippines, you know. True. But I think it's a great language to learn, just because it's really related to Spanish. So if you have some Spanish knowledge, I guess it'll be easier for you to learn. I mean, it was easier for me to learn Spanish, and it took it since 7th grade.
Okay, I don't think it works the other way around, because the structure of Tagalog is like way different than Spanish, because I think what helped us was like the vocab in some ways and like some of the structures, but like Tagalog was made as an entirely new language that took some inspiration from the Spanish, but then they like completely mixed up the sentence structures and like the verb structures.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right, but I think you should still take it if you have different kind of language experience.
It's so funny because the example I use every time I like speak Tagalog to people, it's like it's the same words, but like there's different meanings depending on how you like enunciate the syllables, like baba or bababa or bababakaba.
Yeah, so like that, I mean, I feel like it's very well the tone that I think it's tonal. Like our language is kind of tonal, because like in Chinese, I know like if you say something faster or slower, correct me if I'm wrong, of course, that it would mean different. Like when I get mentioned like baba, that means your chin, and then baba means you going down. So the tonal of the voice and how fast or slow you speak it means different.
Is tone like when you stress certain syllables?
I feel like
I think it's more so that than
I think it's the tone, as well as like how fast or slow you say it. Maybe like bukas. Like bukas means tomorrow.
Oh.
Bukas means to open. So yeah. It's the same thing. You spell the same thing, but it's, you know, it means different. And of course the context would mean differently. And like if you write it something, whatever the context says, that's what it means.
That's so true. And I think it's very important that you're very open about sharing your cultural identity, especially since you're a very well-known person on campus. So that representation matters. Speaking of like your micro celebrity status, I feel like everyone knows you in like one way or another. And I feel like you're one of the most opportunistic people that I know on campus. Like you're always talking about the next internship, the next program, the next LinkedIn connection. So I just wanted to talk about like, how did you get that ambition and that drive? Like what got you there?
I think that comes from like, you know, what Filipino strives for. And I think that's determination, passion, and maybe perseverance to gain experience as well as other aspects that you'd like to learn, or like new opportunities. Like, I mean, you as well, you're a little micro celebrity on your own, in your own way. And, you know, you have your little LinkedIn connections. You have your 2,000, however much Instagram followers you have. And, you know, you're also very well known. So, you know, I think, again, perseverance, determination, and the strive for success, I would say. And I guess that's just not for me, but that's for a lot of for people. But I think you just have to stand out on your own platform. And I think that's what makes me different from other people, is I have my own platform, and I don't know what my platform is. I guess it's just me.
Wow, that was a great Miss Universe answer.
Thank you. Very. That was really great. That was. I already practiced that, and I anticipated you to ask me some questions that can be very, very hard to answer. So
hard to answer. Well, I feel like that's partly because it comes natural to you, if I assume correctly. Because I feel like you don't even have to try. You're one of those people that naturally can be extroverted and be friendly and keep talking to people and just being open to opportunities. But not a lot of people are like that. So for the people who aren't as I wouldn't say extroverted, but more so just like accessible to opportunities, or like have the initiative to seek out things to do or to get involved in or to be passionate about. What would you say to those people so they can like partake in that? Because I feel like it's such a great energy to be around.
Yeah, and I think one great thing I've learned from the past is always be open for, I mean, opportunities. I mean, there's always going to be opportunities for everyone, you know. Mm. It's not gatekept for a specific person, of course. but what I've learned is, like, always try new things, because if you don't try new things, you won't be able to grow. And I learned this because I was a part of Youth Leader Summit. It was sponsored by HSF, which is the Hispanic Scholarship Fund. I'm not Hispanic, but they have, like, a little program for everyone. And they were mentioning how try your pistachio ice cream, meaning, like, you don't have to know if you like something, you just have to try it, and then now you know you don't like this. And always, you know, have a backup plan. If you don't like this, of course you're gonna try, you need to try new things to be able to figure out if you do like this or not, because if you don't, then you wouldn't know. And another thing is, right now I don't have, you know, any internships opportunity or something. I applied to a lot, but
yeah,
as if you don't ask, you don't get. So like, if you don't ask for anything, then you don't get. So now I have like a research job, and I'm working with a doctor, Dr. Wang.
Here on campus?
Yeah, on campus. I'm a research assistant. Yeah, so like, I was just, you know, cold emailing random professors. I mean, they're not random. Of course, I have to target on which I really want to work for. And Dr. Wang like really stood up to me on that, like her values and mission, to like what she strives for. And I really like her values. So I cold emailed her talking about like, hey, I like your I didn't read the whole like summary of her like research, but I read the abstract and I read the summary and everything. And I was like, oh, this is great. So I cold emailed her like, hey, I'd love to work for you this upcoming spring. Do you have an idea? Blah, 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 blah. And she was like, yeah, definitely. It was like a great email that you mentioned. She's also new. Aww. And I'm also new. So I guess we're both in this together. So I called the emailer and I asked her for a research opportunity. Yeah. And she gave me a research opportunity. So again, if you don't ask, you don't get. So I asked and I got something.
So true. And I feel like that's a hard quality to cultivate. Like, having the audacity, not in a bad way, but in like a bold, like, if I want something, I'm going to ask for, I'm going to take it, you know? And I feel like not a lot of people approach things like that. How would you, like, if you were to teach like a one-on-one course on like how to be you on UE, what would it be?
That's a really tough question. And I think one thing that I really like about myself is I feel like I try to keep tabs on what I've done. And it helps me accountable. If I have to do this day, hopefully everyone does it, but if you don't do it, I guess you should really do it. And I think the first step that you have to do is, you know, when you wake up, you look and you think yourself, what am I going to do today? And I always have to look in my agenda, because that makes me feel so much better. And if I erase the thing or like cross it off, I mean, it would definitely make me feel better. I think that's the serotonin. Is that correct? Or what is that? Like the feeling
like the
of
the reward system.
Yeah,
the dopamine reward system.
Okay, yeah. Like, I mean, it, like, if you have that in your mind, or if you just do something to remove something off your calendar or your agenda, I mean, it will make you feel good, and you'll be more inclined to do more things throughout the day. And I don't know if you've done that, Eigen. Have you done that before?
What?
Like, if you've just crossed something on your agenda.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah. And I don't do that until, like, I've done, like, everything, though. Because it's more satisfying if you do it all at once.
Oh. Okay.
I can never be that person that does something, completes it, stops, and then keeps doing increments. Like, I need to, like, sit down and bang everything out.
Oh, okay. I like to see, like, I'll put literally the smallest thing in there. And I just have to cross it off. And I'll be so happy just for me to do something to cross it off from my agenda. And, you know, back in high school, I was working three jobs at one point, and then I was doing sports and I was doing leadership things. So crazy. Just having that something like to cross off, like, hey, I went to practice, cross it off.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy. And I would always have, like, you know, crew practice one day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I just cross it off, and I just have something to cross off. And again, that's the first step, like, I'd like to do for me to be Yuan Oi. And every week, actually, I'm supposed to do it today. So every week, Friday or Thursday or Friday, I would have everything that I need to do for the next week starting Saturday.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I need to start Saturday, because like some of my classes, they really are giving me a papers every single day of class. I mean, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it is crazy how there's so much reading and everything. So I have to start Saturday for me to be able to handle all the crazy things. And I mean, I'm in 18 credit hours and you are, I mean, yeah. there's just a lot of things going on with my life and then, you know, with a lot of things. So just having that that book or agenda will really make you feel so much better on yourself.
Yeah, it helps a lot. I know you like write on a notebook because I've seen you do it before. So it's good that you have like a physical thing. But just any method of externalizing your thoughts so that it's not just in your head. It's like something tangible that you can see that like, oh my God, I'm actually doing something and it's not all in my head, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's great. Do you do anything that makes you feel really good about yourself? Like,
you've heard me talk about my Notion before.
What is that? Like the notebook Notion?
The organization like platform.
Oh, okay.
I've given you a tour before.
Okay, yeah, you did. Yeah, my bad.
I'm obsessed with it. And my whole life is on there.
Yeah.
So definitely. We both take 18 credit hours and off. Oh my God. Why am I blanking right now? What is the word?
Oh no, like 18 credit hours.
Yeah. So if you're taking 18 credit hours, it's assumed that you're doing a lot of work. Like that comes with. And especially since both of us are very involved on campus in a lot of different capacities, it's very easy to like take a day off or like have one weekend where you're doing a lot of stuff that you just get left behind. And it's very overwhelming. And it's sometimes you feel like, should I really be doing this to myself? But I think the biggest thing is just staying organized and having like a clear view of when things are due, when you need to do certain things by. And keeping yourself on track, regardless of what it is, whether it's like classes or like clubs. So can you talk a little bit about that balance? Because I know both of us, especially you, there's a lot to balance on your plate. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, and I think for me, what I do to deal with that is maybe just actually having like a time, like a small, like 5 minutes of your time. And like think about again what you're gonna do throughout the day or what you've done throughout the day, just to look and reflect into what you've done. And that makes me feel so much better. And I think that the balance is when I look at my notebook and I know when to do things, that's when I actually feel so accomplished that I've done things prior and then after. That's I can't even say. Let me think. I feel like I'm just like saying something to say something.
Let's take a moment.
This is what I'm talking about. Like you have to take a moment to think of what you're gonna say.
Deep breath in.
Mm-hmm. ASMR. Can you repeat your question, sir?
We'll move on to another question.
Okay, move on to another question.
Because I feel like we're just talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
I know you like going to the business school or like the law school to study. You like being an academic weapon in all the artsy places, but specifically in Commons, because we do live on Commons and this is my Commons life. Where's your best study place in Commons? Give us like a top three.
A top three. I think the first one is definitely my bedroom.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
I thought you couldn't study with your roommates in there.
No, well, now, I mean, when they're not there, I can definitely study there.
Okay.
But like, I have, you know, my little lights and then I have to do my bed, but usually don't do my bed. But, you know, like it clean, pristine, and it smells really good in my room because, you know, we got the little Febreze thing. So it smells really good. That's number one. Number two is maybe like second floor Commons, like just outside of
the gym,
because that's where I was earlier and I was just doing the homework.
Do you go to the little pod things?
I don't like the pod.
Why?
Because I don't feel like accountability. Like if I'm there, I would just be on my phone.
You'd be comfortable.
Yeah, I'll be comfortable and I'll probably go to bed. So if I have like, if there's like background things, it doesn't bother me at all. But I just want like a place where I can be like in the middle and then there's going to be a lot of things going on around me and I can potentially like be on my laptop and work. Because if I'm by myself, I definitely would not be doing my homework. I would definitely just be looking at my phone. And I think, I mean, that's contrary to my bedroom, but my bedroom is just, you know, like a safe place for me. It's different from like being outside. So
true.
I mean maybe that makes sense, but like that's just me.
Yeah.
And then I guess the third one is
it the Seth common rooms?
Mm-mm, it's Cohen. Would you even include Cohen as Commons? Okay, yeah, Cohen.
Where do you study there? I had a class there, but they don't really have like, unless you go into a classroom where like the back where they have like the little seating area.
Yeah, that's where I studied. That's where I study at, like the back. It's like, I think it's first floor or second floor.
It's first.
But it's just like you open the door, you just go in the very back, and there's like artifacts or whatever artifacts they have there.
It is very pretty.
I think you guys actually don't go there because that's where my study, and y'all are gonna go there now.
I thought we were in gatekeeping. I know. Hot girls don't gatekeep.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But yeah, that's like my third favorite place, and I've been there multiple times because they close Owen. Like, they really did close Owen for undergrad mid freshman. That's crazy.
They did.
They did. That's
and it's because of you.
It was not because of me. I've been.
You started advertising it was a good study spot, and everyone started.
And
going
that wasn't
there.
Gatekeeping because hot girls don't gatekeep. Remember? So. And it really got me because that was my favorite spot to study. And I was clean. And they sent an email. Did you see the email?
I did. That was a very shady email.
And I was like...
They called you out.
Excuse me.
If you don't belong here, don't come.
I know. I was like, Owen, come on, Owen. Like,
come on, Owen.
It's not like you're in the campus of Vanderbilt University.
So true.
So anyways, Owen, RIP Owen, but I do like to go to the law school because, again, I'm in the middle of something and there's a lot of people like reading those big textbooks.
Do you go to Blackacre?
What is that?
It's like that little courtyard thing inside the law school.
Oh,
you know, if you walk in and it's like a little, there's like picnic tables and like trees in the middle.
I've never been there. Like, I mean, really? I see it all the time, but like, I've just never like had like the... I guess the inclination of having the spirit to go out there in that little courtyard. But I've never been out there. I mean, it looks nice, but like recently it's been like ugly, so I've never been out there. But I just like to go in the library, the law library. That was my original like study spot. Mm. And then I went to Owen because it was open and then they closed it.
Yeah.
And I've been going there since November and that was crazy. That's where I used to study. And literally for my finals, that's where I was studying, and I aced my finals. ACED. Is that ace? Yeah, aced.
Yeah.
I did. So
congrats.
That's why future businessman. Don't you want to go to business? Oh, do you want to go to law school?
We're being torn in a lot of different directions right now.
We are. But you know what? You are, aren't you? Wait, can you tell us more about like maybe your...
No, we don't have time to get into me right now. We have to end the podcast.
Oh, we have to end the podcast?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We have a time thing we want to stick to. So
I wish you can talk about Maddie. I love talking to Maddie too. Like
We can have a longer one on another format.
Yeah, we should.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Yuan. It was a pleasure talking with you.
It is a pleasure to talk to you, Aigen Escario. The Aigen Escario of My Commons Life.
The Yuan Uwe of Vanderbilt University.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. This has been the Humans of the Commons interview. This is your host, Aigen, signing off.
CommonsCast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to CommonsCast at Apple Podcasts, or via your favorite podcast app.